Well, good morning, and welcome to Hydewood Park Baptist Church. It's great to see you all this morning, and I'll get to why in just a minute, but first, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you that we can just come here into your house, Lord. We know that wherever it is, as a group of believers that we meet, Lord, we know it doesn't have to be this building, but Lord, we are grateful for this building, a place that we can come consistently, and we can come and discuss your word, and we can praise your name together as a body of believers. So, Lord, we just thank you for everything you've provided for us, and we pray that you would continue to provide for us and all the things that we need to continue doing ministry here in this area. Lord, as we open your word, I pray that it would be something that we would willingly apply to our lives, Lord, that it wouldn't be something that we would turn away from, but that we would listen to it, we would look at it, and we would apply it to each and every one of our lives moving forward. So, Father, just be with us, and we pray that your name would be glorified here. I pray these things in your son's name. Amen. As many of you know, Friday night, our government decided that it couldn't pass a budget and shut down. What does that mean? That means that Friday night when I was at Fort Dix, we got a call from our brigade headquarters down in North Carolina, and they said, the government is shutting down, so send all of your soldiers home, so you guys are all going home. So originally, I wasn't supposed to be here this morning. The sermon was recorded on Wednesday afternoon, so I'm giving this sermon now for the second time, except there's people in the room this time instead of Wednesday when it was just me and Courtney and a camera and some recording equipment. So it'll be a little different, but they shut down, and so I'm here. So I'm glad to be here. My hope and my prayer is that the government will sort themselves out, that they will figure out a solution so that we can get back to what we need to do, training, and various other things, because we had some good training lined up this weekend, and we don't get to complete it, which is a bummer. But it means I get to be here with you, which I'm grateful for. That being said, we are in our third week since we've talked about the beginning of New Year's, right? New Year's resolutions. Anyone still on track with your New Year's resolutions? We're 3 weeks into the new year. I know not a lot of people made them. I'm seeing some head shakes saying, no, we're not on track. We got one in the back who's all smiling. Don, are you still on track with your resolution?
I am.
What's your resolution?
Read the Bible year.
There we go. So as we discussed in the very first week of January, we said we're going through spiritual habits, right? We're discussing 4 weeks, some spiritual habits that are very basic. They're very fundamental to what we need as believers. And the first one we talked about was Bible reading. And we gave a challenge, and Don gave a personal challenge to read with him through the Bible in a year, and that he was looking for accountability. So that is a fantastic challenge to be a part of. If you didn't start 3 weeks ago, you can still start today, all right? There's not a particular time that you have to start. We've been talking about it through the series. We pick January just because January is a good time for everybody to hit that reset button, right? But everything we talk about in this series, at any point in time, we can start implementing in our lives. It doesn't just have to be January, right? So we talked about Bible reading the first week, and then we talked about prayer last week, and we talked about how important it is to pray, right? Bible reading is part of it. We're given God's word, and we're given his instruction book essentially for us, right? There's an acronym that Christians like to use for Bible. It's the basic instructions before leaving earth, right? If you have questions, if you have things that you're not sure about, what should I be doing as a believer? How should I be living? There's an instruction book that we're given, right? And we can read it, and we know that it's the word of God to us. But then we said the other part is prayer, right? Just like you have to have a conversation with a friend in order to be friends with someone, we have to have a conversation with God, right? He wants that conversation, and that comes through prayer. It comes through our prayer life, through being able to come to him and have this conversation. And we said there's not necessarily a right or a wrong, but that when we're praying, to keep in mind that we're doing it to build a relationship with God, that it's not about getting man's praise and man's attention and man's accolades, right? That's not why we do it. And Jesus said in Matthew, when he's talking to his disciples, don't be like those hypocrites who pray that way. We're going to look at another portion of Matthew this morning, right after the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. So if you would turn with me there, Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18, Jesus is giving more instructions to his disciples. Through this whole chapter, he's kind of giving them instructions and guidance on ways to do certain things and ways not to do certain things. And we're going to see him again compare something to the hypocrites in this passage, where he's going to say, do it not like these people, but do it in this manner. And this morning we're talking about fasting. right? This is not something that I remember hearing a lot about growing up. It's not something that was really pushed in the school that I went to. We didn't really discuss fasting a lot. Here growing up at church, I maybe remember hearing it one or two times, but not really a lot about it. And so there's this question, it's what is fasting, right? What is fasting? We hear about it, but we don't necessarily know what it is. So we want to look at three things this morning. I want to answer, what is fasting? I want to look at why all of us should at some point fast. And then if we're supposed to do it, how do we do it? So those are the three things I want to look at this morning. What is it? Why should we do it? And how do we do it? But let's read our passage first. It's Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. This is, again, Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces so they may appear to men to be fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you will not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you openly." The same kind of thing that he just said in the previous passage, right? When he talks about prayer, he tells them again, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be out in public. Don't be doing this thing with this big, grand setup establishment where people can watch you. And don't try to draw men's attention. But do it quietly. Do it in a manner that would be pleasing to God. Because though these people were doing the right things, they weren't doing them the way that God asked them to be done, right? We can go through the motions with anything. You can go through the motions, but you can be doing it for all the wrong reasons, can't you? At work, you can do something for the wrong reasons. At home, you can do something for the wrong reasons. The kids aren't here, or I'd speak to them about obeying their parents. You know, there's two ways to obey your parents. Either you do it happily, or you do it angrily, right? Begrudgingly, stomping around. I don't want to go take out the trash. I don't want to empty the dishwasher. This is stupid. I can't wait till I'm an adult and I don't have to do this anymore. And then I realized when I got my own apartment and I got married that I'm the one taking out the trash and emptying the dishwasher because now I have to. The first question is, what is fasting? It looks in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus starts talking to them about how they should fast. But we need to back up and say, what is it? And the what and the why kind of go hand in hand. And I want to say this. Fasting is simply this. It's voluntarily going without something. All right, we can all agree on that. Usually, we're referring to food. When we talk about fasting, we're usually referring to food or any other regularly enjoyed good gift from God for the sake of some spiritual purpose. Fasting is a practice that we see throughout Scripture. If you go all the way back to Genesis and you start working through the Bible, you start working Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all the way through the Old Testament, and then you pick it up in Matthew, right? Matthew 6, Jesus is talking to his disciples about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you go through the New Testament. You see examples of fasting. So we see it all throughout the Bible. So what is it? It's this time where people voluntarily give up something. Traditionally, when we talk about fasting, we're talking about food. We're saying that we are voluntarily going to give up a particular meal, but there is a reason behind it, right? There's a purpose behind why we're doing it. And I want to make sure that that's clear, and that's a point that we're going to drive through the whole kind of message this morning. It has to have a purpose. Fasting without a purpose is just skipping a meal, right? So if there's no purpose behind it, you're just skipping a meal, which I'm sure we've all done at some point. No matter how much of a handle we seem to have on life, there seems to be times where we just get caught up and we're busy and you miss a meal, right? Next thing you know, it's 2:30, you forgot to eat lunch, and you're hungry, and you're stopping at the Dunkin' Donuts to grab a bagel. We miss meals. That's not necessarily fasting, all right? Fasting has to have a purpose behind it. Throughout the nation of Israel's time period, when you look through the New Testament or the Old Testament, you see a lot of times where they're coming together as a nation to pray about God's deliverance or God's strength or his guidance or various things. And a lot of times you'll see in conjunction with that, fasting being referenced. And so that's why we talked about prayer last week and we're talking about fasting this week. Because a lot of times when we see the two, we see them go hand in hand. Especially when we see fasting, we see prayer. And it's usually when someone is seeking God's deliverance or his guidance or seeking his will in a particular manner. And they're spending time fasting and focusing on prayer. So what is fasting? Fasting is voluntarily giving up a meal or something else for a spiritual purpose. That's what fasting is. It has to have a purpose behind it. So why should we fast, right? Why should we fast? Is fasting something that we're required to do? That's the question. Is it something we're required to do? If you look back at Matthew 6:16, Jesus says this. He says, "Moreover, when you fast," right? The implication here to his disciples is that they were already doing this. This was something that was already in practice. It was something that they did on a regular basis. So Jesus is saying, when you're doing it, this is how you should do it. So the question is, why should we fast? Or should we fast? It's not necessarily commanded. That's about as close in Matthew 16, as close as you'll get to Jesus telling you to fast. He doesn't give a specific command like he does with other things for fasting. You look through the Bible and you look at different commands that we're giving. Jesus tells his disciples when he's commissioning them at the end, right before he ascends to heaven, he says, go into all the world, and then gives them a list of things to do, right? Make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything that I've taught you to do. Right? We're given the Ten Commandments, the list of things of how not to behave. Don't do this. Don't kill. Don't, you know, lie. Don't steal. Don't covet your neighbor's property or your neighbor's wife or husband, whatever the case may be. We're given a lot of commands about things to do and not to do. Jesus doesn't specifically command us to fast. However, it was a practice that the Israelites had been doing. And Jesus is saying, when you do it in this manner. So there's an expectation that they would be fasting, that at some point they would be practicing fasting. And Jesus is saying, this is how you should do it. So are we directly commanded to do it? We're not directly commanded to do it, but there's an implication that we should be doing it in the way that he talks to his disciples. In his conversation, he tells them why. We should be fasting because it's what Jesus taught his disciples to do. And again, going back to the commission, the disciples were told to teach the next group of people what Jesus taught them to do. So following the Great Commission, where Jesus teaches his disciples to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, and to teach everybody else what he taught them, then if Jesus is teaching them how to fast, the disciples should be teaching the next group how to fast, and the church should be teaching its followers how to fast, and that trickles down to us. So the implication is that we should all be at some point fasting, and this is Jesus telling us how. Fasting is voluntarily giving up something, going without something for a spiritual purpose. And when we see it referenced in the Bible, we see people who are doing several things. They are urgently, right, urgently seeking God's provision, God's strength, God's guidance, his deliverance, his protection. They are fervently seeking God to move in a specific way in whatever their circumstances are. When we see fasting referenced in the Bible, we don't see people who are just kind of approaching this in a very ho-hum way, right? Kind of like, I'll give it a try and we'll see what happens. No. The examples that were given in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, you see people who are coming and they are pouring out their life. They're pouring out their emotions to God. And part of it is in fasting and then in prayer, they're talking to God and they are imploring him to move in a particular manner according to what their circumstance is. It's not something that's just taken lightly. In all of those situations, whether it's for provision or strength or guidance or protection or for him to show up in a way to give him direction, in all of those situations, they're doing this. They're denying their physical needs. They're denying themselves. And they're trusting God to provide. And that's the big thing about fasting. All right? Fasting is denying our physical self for the purpose of seeking God's provision, right? By fasting, we're taking time to deny ourselves. John Piper, who was a pastor for over 25 years and is the author of a website called Desiring God, which is a good site. I would encourage you all to go check it out, desiringgod.org. John Piper says this about fasting. He says, fasting is a way of saying with our stomach and our whole body how much we need and want and trust Jesus, right? Fasting is this interesting idea. It's this interesting concept, right? It's this thought of, I'm going to give up food or I'm going to give up whatever the case may be in the expectation that I'm going to now take that time and apply it towards seeking God's will or deliverance or strength or whatever it is, fill in that blank in your life, right? By fasting, we're denying the physical self and we're saying, I'm going to put this away for now and I'm going to seek God. It reminds us that our physical needs are provided to us by God, right? Everything that we have in this world is great. It's wonderful. And oftentimes we want more. But oftentimes we forget to remember, that was correct, we forget to remember that everything we have is provided to us by God, right? We take it for granted. The food that we have, the meals that we have, the snacks, the grocery store, the cars that we drive, the trains that we ride, the airplanes we fly in, the shoes on our feet, the clothes on our back, everything we have in some way, shape, or form was provided by God, right? You may have gone out and bought it. You may have purchased it with the money that you got from your job. But who got you the job, right? God provided the job for you. Whether you believe it or not, he did. You may have gone to the interview process, but God got you the job, all right? We're all special, but we're not that good. We can't provide for ourselves on our own. We still need God to provide for us. And sometimes we forget that because we have a job and because we go out and we buy these things, we forget that God was the one who provided all of this in the first place. So the clothes that we buy, the cars that we drive, the trains that we ride, the food that's in our refrigerators or our pantries, we may have gone out and purchased these things, but God enabled us in the first place to be able to purchase this. So every physical thing that we have is a provision from God. Fasting is denying those physical provisions and seeking and remembering our spiritual need, right? We need God. Without God, we don't have any of this. Without God moving and providing in our lives, we don't have anything. God was the one who created all of us. He created the world. Go back to Genesis. He created man. He created Adam and Eve. He created the garden. He created the animals. He created the planet we're on, the solar system we're in. Everything was created by God. So everything we have goes back to God. As a side note, we talked about prayer and we talked about our spiritual life last week. Fasting is denying our physical need for a moment. One thing we should never fast from is our spiritual needs. At no point in time should we be fasting from prayer or from reading our Bible or from working on our relationship with God. That's not something we should ever try to fast from, because the whole point is we're supposed to be working on those things. Reading our Bible, praying, having the conversation, working on the relationship with God, that is working on feeding our spiritual needs in our soul, right? We have a physical body, but we also have a spiritual body. Just like we need to feed our physical body, we need to feed our spiritual body. And that's the whole mindset behind this series. That by reading the Bible, by praying, by working on those things, we're working on feeding our spiritual body. Because that's what matters most. So the what is fasting? Fasting is voluntarily giving up something, whether it's food, whether it's time on your phone, whether it's time in other places. It's purposefully sacrificing an element for a spiritual purpose, to seek God. Why should we fast? God encourages us to fast. So the disciples were doing it, and Jesus says, when you do it in this manner. Do it in this way. So why should we be fasting? Because it is the example that was set to us by the disciples that Jesus encouraged. So the last question is, how do we fast, right? If we've talked about what it is and we talked about why we should do it, we have to talk about how. Because it's no good to say, you need to go do it. All right, let's pray, amen, go home, right? If I tell you you should do something but don't give you the tools or the resources for how to do it, that's kind of a fail, right? That's like your teacher saying, we're going to have a test or a quiz, and then they don't tell you what material to study, and then you show up and it's like, well, I didn't know. I don't know how to do this. So I'm going to help set you up. And I'm actually going to take something off of that website, Desiring God, the one that John Piper hosts. He's got a guy on there named Dave Mathis. And Dave Mathis wrote an article about fasting for beginners. And it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. And I think it lays a good foundation for where we can start. All right? So we're going to look at six different things. They're short and sweet. But they're little parts that when you put them all together, helps give us an idea about how to fast and how we can implement this in life. So the first thing is to start small, all right? As with anything, start small. When we talked about New Year's resolutions, we said oftentimes resolutions fail because what? People are overambitious, right? You make this grand New Year's resolution, I'm going to drop 25 pounds and I'm going to do it by January 7th. It's probably not going to happen. That's a little overambitious, right? It's a better idea to say, hey, I'm going to drop 25 pounds by July and I'm going to work on losing a pound of weight each week. That's a healthy way to do it, by the way. A pound to two each week, 4 to 8 pounds a month. That's a healthy way to do it. But it's also a lot more attainable, right? If you say my long-term goal is 25, but I'm going to work on a pound a week, that's a small goal. And every time you achieve a small goal, what happens? You get encouraged, right? You get excited. Hey, look, I accomplished this goal. It helps keep you going towards the next one, right? So by setting small goals along the way, you see progress along the way, and it helps encourage you to keep going. See, oftentimes when we set goals, we set them so big and we don't ever set small steps in between that we get overwhelmed by our goal. And before we know it, we're so far behind, there's no way we can catch up, right? Losing weight is the number one New Year's resolution every year. Losing weight is the number one non-achievement every year because people have this grand plan, but they don't ever set those small goals in between. So start small. If you've never done a fast before, don't try to go on a 3-day fast. I don't encourage it. All right, that's going to end poorly, most likely. Don't go from 0 to 100. Start with a single meal. All right, if you've never done a fast before, start with a single meal. You're just going to give up one. Don't do a multi-day fast. If it's not a fast from food, because remember we said fasting isn't just giving up food. There's other things you can fast from, especially in today's day and age. With all the technology and all the things that are in our life that we get inundated with, there's other things that we can fast from. All right. So if it's not from food, but technology or whatever it may be, maybe it's sleep. Start small, a little bit here and there, and then over time, expand. So the first one is start small. The second one, and maybe even more important than the first, is have a plan, right? These go hand in hand. With that New Year's resolution, if you want to lose 25 pounds, but you don't have a plan on how you're going to do it, you're likely going to fail, right? Those who fail to plan to fail. You ever heard that saying before? If you fail to plan, if you fail to set something out, then you're literally setting yourself up to fail on whatever it is you're trying to achieve. Have a plan. Create a simple plan that includes, most importantly, a purpose for your fast. All right? The biggest thing about fasting is the purpose or the reason why we're doing it. If we're not doing it for the right reason, or if we're not doing it for any reason, if we're doing it just because Pastor said that I should fast once in a while, so I'm not going to eat lunch on Tuesday, and then I'm going to eat dinner, we're missing the point. And again, that's just skipping a meal, which we all do, right? I skipped a bunch of meals yesterday. Not by choice. Well, by choice. I could have made something, and I didn't, right? But that's not fasting. Yes, I didn't eat, but it's not fasting. It wasn't with a purpose to take that time where I would have been eating and seeking God, right? We have to have a plan. We have to have a purpose. The big thing behind the fast, the time that you would take to eat that meal or to watch YouTube on your phone or to play games on the computer or to cook a meal, whatever it is that you're fasting from, the time that you would have used for that activity, that time should now be used instead for reading the Bible, praying, meditating, talking to God. That's the purpose behind a fast. Because the time that we would have used for that meal or that half hour on lunch, right? 15 minutes, half hour, hour, whatever your lunch break is or whatever it is that you do, by giving up that time, we are now instead denying our physical needs, the food, and taking that time and saying, I'm going to instead spend all of that time focusing on seeking God, by working on my relationship with God. So that half hour that you would have taken to eat lunch on your lunch break, don't work through lunch. Don't do that. All right? Take that time instead to focus on God, to pray, to read. That is what we should be doing. Without a purpose, we're just skipping a meal and we're spending less time either eating or on the phone or sleeping or whatever the case may be. The purpose behind the fast is to swap those. The time that you would be giving up to eat now should be spent with God. The third thing is consider how it will affect others. All right, this is kind of a big one. Consider how it will affect others. If you regularly meet with a group of people for a particular meal, this is something you've done for a while, right? A group of ladies all get together on Tuesday and they have lunch together. Probably isn't the meal that you want to fast, right? Because now you're taking yourself out of that time that you could spend with those women building a relationship. Guys, same thing. If there's a group of people that you usually gather together with for a meal, alternatively, as a group, you could all fast and still get together and swap that time for praying and reading the Bible. But you don't want to singularly take yourself out of that because now you're removing yourself from a potential relationship-building opportunity. So consider how it will affect your interactions with others, right? You can still fast another time that's maybe not with that group of people. But maybe even more important than being with a group of people is another term that Snickers has maybe tried to coin. But it's this. How many of us in here, if we miss a meal, get hangry? It's kind of funny because on the video when I recorded this and I asked this question, I told all of you that I raised Courtney's hand for her. And you can't see her because she's in the balcony right now upstairs with the rest of the AV team, but she raised her hand as well. If Courtney doesn't eat, or if I don't eat, if we're in the office and we're working, and it's like, oh, hey, it's 12 o'clock, we should probably eat. Hey, it's 1 o'clock, we should probably, hey, it's 3:30, we haven't eaten yet. We both start to get hangry. And then work doesn't really become as productive because then we start getting a little tense sometimes, right? So if you get hangry by missing a meal, consider how that will affect your loving relationship with others. Because remember, at the end of the day, we're believers and we're representing God and God's love to the world. And if you're a hangry person trying to go spread God's love, it's probably not going to work out too well. So consider how your hangriness is going to affect others. Consider how your fasting is going to affect others, right? Jesus said in Matthew 6, when we looked at it, he said, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't do it so that all mankind can see that you're doing it because they already have their reward. They have the acknowledgement by men. They have what they want, people to see that they're doing something so they think they're spiritual, right? God says, don't do it for that reason. Do it for the right reason, right? In the same token, if you're going to get hangry, if it's going to affect the way that we show our love or we show God's love towards others, make sure you think about that. Think about the effects that your decision will have on others. Think about the effects it could have on your testimony towards others. Because yes, though fasting is important, our testimony is also important. So we want to do it in a way where we're doing it for the right reasons, but we're also not causing damage to the relationship we have with others or towards our testimony that we have with others about who we are and God's love. So consider how it will affect others. The fourth one, try different kinds. All right, try different kinds of fasts. Matthew 6, Jesus describes fasting as personal and private, right? He says, make sure that people don't see that you're fasting. Wash your face. Prepare yourself in a way so that it's not obvious. Do it at home in secret. Because those who do it in secret, God will reward them openly, right? That's what Matthew 6:16 says. But there are other types of fasts, right? There's different kinds of fasts. We know that throughout Scripture, that at times the whole nation of Israel came together to fast, right? If we go back to Genesis, we see Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, and he's by himself with God fasting. But then if you continue, you see Queen Esther, right? When Queen Esther is getting ready to go before the king, because all the Jews are about to be killed because of what Haman had done. Queen Esther talks to her uncle and says, hey, all the Jews in Susa, all those in your area, gather them together to fast, and me and all of my group, we're going to fast, and we're going to come together, we're going to fast, and we're going to pray that God will deliver, and that when I step into that room, the king will extend his scepter, right? So there's a whole group of people coming together at that point. And then we know that the nation as a whole, that the nation of Israel as a whole was called to fast for deliverance from their enemies. So there's different kinds of fasts. There's the personal fast. There's the quiet by yourself. But there's also communal, right? There's private and there's public. There's congregational, which I'll talk about in a minute. And there's national. Just like there's a national call to prayer, there is a national day of fasting where they call the nation, U.S., to a day of fasting. to pray for the country, to pray for our leaders, right? That's important. There's regular fasting, and then there's occasional fasting for a special occasion. And then there's absolute and partial. What do I mean by absolute and partial? So absolute fasting would be you give up, if it's food, you give up everything. That means food, water, juices, soda, whatever it is, all right? No sustenance for that meal, all right? Partial fasting, you also see exhibited in the New Testament where they fast from particular foods, all right? Particular types of foods, or maybe they fast from all food and they just have juice or water, right? So that's a partial fast. So there's different kinds. Be open to trying different kinds. Don't be locked in on just one and say, no, this is the only way, because the Bible will prove you wrong. Because throughout the Bible, there's all different kinds that are exhibited. So try different kinds. Try partial fasts. Start with a partial. Fast from food, but drink water. You know, try different kinds. Don't limit yourself to only one type, but be willing to participate in other types, even with other people. The fifth is fast from something other than food. We talked about this a little bit. For some of you, it's a health risk if you fast from food. In the video when I recorded this, since it was a room that was empty, I said, if you are listening to this on Sunday morning, if you're listening online, wherever you are hearing this, because we do stream this out on YouTube, it does get posted to the website so other people can hear it. If you are an individual who has a medical condition such as diabetes, where fasting can actually have a negative impact on your life, think about that. All right, take that into consideration. Maybe consider fasting from something else, right? Dave Mathis, the writer of the article, he says this: if the better part of wisdom for you in your health condition is not to go without food, consider fasting from television, from the computer, social media, or some other regular enjoyment that would bend your heart toward greater enjoyment of Jesus. Married couples in this room, Paul even tells us at one point in the New Testament, consider fasting from sex. It's out there. Be careful with that. I'm going to leave it at that one. Make sure you and your partner are on the same page with that one, because otherwise there can be relationship issues, and I'm not going to take responsibility for that. But Paul does talk about it. It is out there. So there are other things than food that we can fast from, right? So it's not just food. And the last thing, number six, is embrace the signals. When your stomach starts grumbling and you're feeling the effects of a fast, when you're starting to get hangry, you feel those physical signs of fasting, use them in a positive way, all right? Embrace those signals. Use them in a positive way instead of dwelling on them as a negative reminder. When you feel those stomach pains, when you feel the reminder of, I haven't eaten, use that reminder to sit down and to talk to God. All right? You can take it in two ways. Either you can see it as, oh man, I'm hungry. Why am I doing this? This is dumb. Or you can take it as a, hey, this is reminding me that I'm fasting for a specific reason, and that's to talk to God about, and then fill in the blank in your life. Embrace those signals. Use them in a positive manner. So let's put this all together as we wrap up here. The question we ask is, how do we fast? I'm going to give you an example, all right? So you leave here with all the tools that you need. Tomorrow is Monday. How many of us, in some way, shape, or form, are going to work tomorrow? All right. How many of us have a lunch break tomorrow? Or can create a lunch break, whether you're given one or you're Greg, who's self-employed and didn't raise his hand. If you don't give yourself a lunch break, sir, that's on you. But if you have a lunch break opportunity, be it 15 minutes, be it a half hour, be it 45, an hour, whatever the case may be, all right, this is an example of how to fast, and we're going to use food as our fast. Tomorrow being Monday, take that time when you would have had your lunch break and you would have done whatever it was, eaten whatever it was that you were going to eat, whether it was sit at your desk and eat, whether it was go somewhere and eat. You give up that meal, all right? You give up that meal. You walk away from your desk. You walk away from whatever it is. You take that lunch break, and you leave your work behind, and you don't eat that meal. And instead, for that 30-minute window, or whatever time frame it is, you sit there and you open your Bible, and between you and God, you spend time in His Word, reading, meditating, praying, working on that relationship. Because what you've done is you've taken that time and you've denied the physical need of yourself. And you've taken that time instead to seek God in the situation that you've set out, right? Go back to that purpose. Why are you fasting? What is it in your life that you're choosing to fast for? What is it that you're looking for God to do? How are you looking for Him to move or act in your life? So swap out that meal, take that time instead, and spend it with God. And when that 30 minutes is up, and you go back to your desk or you go back to wherever, do not pull out the bottom drawer and the giant bag of candy that you have sitting there, all right? We're not breaking the fast like that. We're not going to eat candy over the next 3 hours until we get to dinner. Fasting is completely giving up that meal. That means you don't go eat two dinners, or you eat dinner and three desserts, or you eat a afternoon meal. You've given that meal up completely, all right? That meal is gone. Don't make it up in any way. That's what fasting is. Purposefully sacrificing something, food, time on the internet, time on social media, on a cell phone, whatever. Sacrificing that, not making it up, and using that time instead to spend it with God. That's what a fast is, right? But be clear about one thing, please, this morning. When we talk about fasting, and we say it's us coming to God and urgently or fervently seeking Him to move in a particular situation in our life, just because we've fasted does not mean that we will get the answer that we're seeking, right? The nation of Israel had times where they fasted and they were looking for God to move in a particular way, and He didn't. That doesn't mean we stop fasting. That means that we're reminded that Jesus isn't, or God isn't, a genie in a bottle. Just because you do certain things, it doesn't mean you're going to sway His will or His actions. He's still God. He still sees the overarching picture of life. He still knows what's best for us. He still knows what's better for everyone. Okay? So yes, we should be fasting. We should be praying and seeking God to move in a particular manner, but that doesn't mean that we're guaranteed to get the answer that we want. With anything, it's God's will that we should be seeking. So even when we're fasting, we should be seeking God's will in that fast. Remember that. Fasting is about starving our flesh in order to feed our spirit. We can become so bombarded by daily life with just everything that's around us, the pressures, you know, work, business, school, kids, family, life can just get us so far down that we forget we are first and foremost sons and daughters in God's kingdom, that we are God's children and that He provides for us. Sometimes we lose that. Here's the thing. We're going to talk about fasting in about 2 minutes when we wrap up and pray. It's very easy to walk out that door and forget about everything, right? I would encourage you not to. And here's why. In March, we're going to revisit this. So we will come back to it. So don't think that once you walk out, you're out of it. There's a series that we're going to be going through in March, all right? And when we get to either the end of it or partway through, as a church, we are going to have an opportunity to come together as a congregation and fast together and to pray and to seek for God to move in a particular way in this church, in this community, all right? I will put a challenge out there to all of you during that series so that as a church, we are all fasting together. And we're looking at right now putting together a night where we will come together and all fast together and pray and then potentially even break the fast the following morning or the following evening, whatever it may be, together as a church, all right? So we will revisit this idea of fasting. So don't think that once you leave, you've gotten away from it, because we will be even diving into it deeper. But in the meantime, until we get there, think about fasting. Think about this morning. Think about how you can apply this into your own life, all right? Using that time that you would have had your meal, you would have prepared your meal, you would have spent on the phone, use that time instead to seek God, to spend time with God, right? That's what a fast is. A fast is us willingly sacrificing something to spend time with God, to strengthen that relationship and to seek Him to move. That's what fasting is. We should all take time in our life to fast and to pursue God. But as with anything else, it can only become a habit if what? if we first do it, right? The only way something can be a habit is if you do it at least one time, and then a second time, and then maybe a third time. And over time, it will become a habit. So everything we're talking about through this series, Bible reading, prayer, fasting, these are all habits that we need, but we have to actually do them for them to become habits. So I'd encourage you to think about, how can you fast? What is it in your life that you can sacrifice for God? It doesn't have to be all at one time. Remember, start small. One meal here, whatever. Don't go for a three-day fast all at one time. Start small. But remember why it is that we do it, all right? What's the purpose behind it? Because without the purpose, it's useless. Fasting should be us sacrificing our physical to seek God and to seek our spiritual. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and open your word. Lord, we thank you for this idea of fasting and what it represents in our lives, and that it's a time where we can give up things that we need physically, and we can focus on you and be reminded of how it is that you provide for us, both physically and spiritually. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us in this room as we work through this idea of fasting and how it fits into our spiritual lives. I pray that we would all see the importance of it, and that it doesn't have to be something we do every day or every week or every month, but Lord, that there are times when we should fast and we should sacrifice what we want and come to you and seek your will and your desire. So Lord, I pray for all of us in here that over the next couple weeks and months, I pray that we would be able to find out how it is that we can fit this into our life and we can make this a habit, and not just something we do because we think we have to, but Lord, that the purpose behind it would be to strengthen our relationship with you and to spend that time instead seeking you and seeking your guidance. Lord, I pray for the remainder of our time together. I pray that it would be something that is uplifting to all of us. It's something that encourages us, that our time spent with one another would not be in waste, but Lord, that it would refresh us so that we can face what life throws at us over another week. So Lord, we pray for your strength, and we just pray for your blessing on the rest of our time here. And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen.